mushroom foraging has long been a hobby here in Wisconsin, and recently the state started regulating who can sell wild mushrooms to restaurants. Local foragers can now become certified identifiers by taking a mushroom identification course taught through the Wisconsin Mycological Society and others. We'll talk about that course and the new requirements in just a moment with a mushroom expert. But first, we wanted to get a feel for what it's like to hunt and identify mushrooms out in the field. So my co-host Rob Ferret and producer Mackenzie Crummy headed into the woods. They traveled with two mycologists to an undisclosed location in southern Wisconsin.
Yeah, so my name is Jeremy Holmstadt. I'm a elected board member of the Wisconsin Mycological Society.
I'm Brennan Sternad. So only about 2 years ago, I got involved with the Wisconsin Mycological Society. But I hit it real hard. I feel like I'm learning a lot every single day.
It's about 80 degrees. I've got my official mushroom cutting knife, one I grabbed from the kitchen counter, some sunscreen, some bug spray. I am set to go, but I'm a little skeptical at this point. I've gone out mushroom hunting with buddies before and found zero of the mushrooms we were looking for, hoping we do better today.
All right, let's head that way. Especially this time of year, you want to look for mature oak. That's where you're going to find a multitude of your edibles. You'll obviously find mushrooms on there, a lot of different species, but let's kind of head towards that area over there. Right now, we're kind of walking through a mowed area, and here we go.
So we're just 20 feet out of the parking lot, and we've already hit pay dirt. What do we have here?
Yeah, so this is called chicken of the woods. It's considered one of the fine, safe edibles you'll find in Wisconsin. It has just a bright orangey color, and depending upon the species, it might have either like a white pore surface or a yellow pore surface.
As we walk around this public park, the just abundance of mushrooms in this area is obvious. There are about 14,000 different species of mushroom. That's according to the National Park Service. Feels like we've encountered most of them just on this trip.
Pheasant back, like the native bird.
This is a huge group of mushrooms called the russula.
And they're called puffballs because if you smack them, little spores come out of them.
There aren't a lot of good psychedelics around Wisconsin, which, for better or worse, this is called Dinopolis.
And so we found that mushroom there. There's a mushroom over there. Here's another one, different species.
Is that tricholoma?
Oh, that's a tricholoma.
It's called a milky cap, so if you damage the gills or any part of the surface, you see this.
When you're identifying mushrooms, you're looking for a lot of things. You're smelling them, touching the cap. How does it feel? Does it have gills? What's the texture? What are the colors? One thing you're not doing is tasting them. And if you do, you spit it out.
Oh, these are...
Well, you don't want to eat these.
Well, and for the most part, we want to cook these. If we do find edible ones, we'll want to cook them.
Yes, any edible ones you want to definitely cook.
So if we're going to eat them here, it'll be Mac, not me.
Okay.
Great.
And that is because mushrooms can be poisonous, even deadly. The National Poison Data System reports more than 6,500 cases of people being exposed to toxic mushrooms in 2022. Here's Brennan talking about a specific mushroom we're seeing in the wild called an Amanita.
This is a mushroom that people have died from, especially here. Mm-hmm. So folks that have come from Southeast Asia, especially folks from the Hmong community, when they first came over, ate a lot of this mushroom and died from it. There's a mushroom over there that is not the same, but it looks extremely similar. So they came here and they thought, well, that's the mushroom we're familiar with, and people often die from making that mistake.
That's why these two, Jeremy and Brennan, amateur experts in identifying mushrooms, are so important. They could answer almost any question I threw at them, including this one.
All right, well, let's get into a sensitive topic for radio, reproduction. Are these sexual reproducers, the fungus, or do they clone themselves? How do they work?
They reproduce in any way that they can is the answer. Yeah. Mushroom sex is a very mysterious thing. They'll do it any way they can. Spores sometimes are sexual spores. Sometimes they can reproduce asexually so that one spore can reproduce the whole new organism. But it can get real weird. Morels do it very strange.
And my takeaway from this experience is mushrooms are cool, nature is weird, and even if I get to know mushroom varieties better, I'm never going to eat mushrooms that I forage myself. I'll leave it to the experts to make the safe call. One last note. Brennan and Jeremy asked us to keep their mushroom hunting location undisclosed. They hope to preserve the area where sometimes rare and sensitive species live.
Actually, you know, as foragers and people who explore the woods, we have to be mindful because we're intruding upon their space. And so we have to make sure we clean our shoes of seeds from invasive plants or try not to overcollect or try not to trod through very delicate lichens and mosses because we're just guests here.
Now we turn to Tavis Lynch, the vice president of the Wisconsin Mycological Society. He's been identifying and cultivating mushrooms for more than 35 years, and he recently talked with Rob Ferret.
All right, before we talk about mushrooms, I want to talk about mushroom people. Being out there with Brennan and Jeremy, hearing how they talked about this this community of mycologists, of people into mushrooms. Can you talk a little bit about how people build community around their shared love of all these different kinds of fungus?
Well, it's really quite interesting. You're stuck with a group of people that have a similar interest. You spend a week in the woods with them, and you don't have a choice but to become friends. And our mushroom community is very tight. I think there's about 1,000 to 1,500 of us now around the state that get together just about 30 times throughout the course of the year, and we've developed some very strong bonds between us.
Now, you've been identifying and cultivating mushrooms, I understand, for more than 35 years. What got you into mushrooms in the first place?
It started with looking for morels and meadow mushrooms with my father. And then it got to a point where he couldn't answer my questions anymore, and he said, just go buy a book. So that's what I did, and I've been fascinated with mushrooms since day one, and it's all I do for a living. I chase mushrooms around Wisconsin.
And you've gone beyond just chasing them. You cultivate some now. What brought you from seeking them in the wild to saying, hey, I'm going to grow some of my own?
Actually, what brought me to that was drought. I was struggling to find enough wild mushrooms to supply my restaurants about 20 years ago, and I saw that as my only solution was to control my environment and cultivate my own mushrooms.
Now, we've got this news at the state level, this identification course for foragers selling to food establishments in Wisconsin. What's changing here? What do these requirements mean?
Well, we never really had anything in place before, and the main objective is obviously, public safety. We don't want just anyone selling mushrooms to restaurants and grocery stores. And the hobby is growing very, very quickly. So we have a lot of maybe inexperienced, I'll say, people trying to sell mushrooms to the public. And that needs to be regulated for safety purposes. We don't want poisonous mushrooms or misidentified mushrooms being sold in restaurants and grocery stores around the state.
Yeah, if I heard that you were supplying mushrooms to restaurants, I'd feel really good about that, Tavis. If I heard Rob Ferret was supplying mushrooms to restaurants, I'd feel really bad about that. What would somebody, maybe someone a little more advanced than me, somebody who's got some experience foraging, what kind of steps would they go through? What would they go to do this kind of registration and go through this program?
So you would register through the Wisconsin Mycological Society's website, and we did, I think, 6 programs this spring around the state, maybe 7. We did La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Milwaukee area, and the Eau Claire area, just to try to, you know, cover the state as best we can. And then you have to listen to me talk for about 6 hours. And then it's a test that takes, that varies. Everyone tests differently. And it usually takes between 45 minutes and 90 minutes to complete the test. But we've had absolute beginners come through and pass the test. And if they can prove their skills and knowledge of mushroom food safety, then they can be trusted to sell mushrooms to restaurants and grocery stores. We also encourage that the health inspectors take the same course and restaurant owners. I think that's good knowledge for them to have as well.
Do you hope that having this in place is going to help people appreciate our variety of edible mushrooms here in the state?
I do. I think we're going to start to see a lot more mushrooms in restaurants on our menus, maybe even perhaps in our grocery stores, farmers markets, and local co-ops. And I think that'll give people a better taste of Wisconsin. Wisconsin has, I would estimate, around 300 good edible mushrooms, all of them being a little bit different from each other. Try them all.
How important is it to make this Wisconsin specific? Because as I understand it, our mushroom ecology, our mushroom varieties are going to be very different from one place to another.
Absolutely. And Wisconsin's very unique in its four distinct forest types coming together. Our fungal life here is very distinct. Our mushroom life is different from Michigan. It's different from Minnesota. And it's actually drastically different from Illinois. So it's very important that we concentrate just on our state borders for these mushrooms that we're certifying people for.
And Tavis, before I let you go, you're cultivating, you're foraging. What is on your home menu these days when it comes to mushrooms?
I don't eat mushrooms as often as people think I do, though I did pick some fresh shiitakes this morning, and the hen of the woods is very prolific this year, so I picked a couple of those as well.
Tavis, that sounds great. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That is Tavis Lynch, Vice President of the Wisconsin Mycological Society, and he talked with Rob Ferret about mushroom foraging. Special thanks to Jeremy Holmstadt and Brennan Sternid for showing Rob around the forest, and to producer Mackenzie Crummy and technical director Sarah Hopeful for their work on the segment.